in Venezuela, South America. When Jack and Dot finished climbing the great rope net, they traveled across the friendly prairie land into darkness, when Jeremiah the Hermit built a fire and then went into the bushes and presently returned with the freshly killed carcass of a small animal which looked like a cross between a possum and a kangaroo. Cooked over the campfire, the meat was white and tender and succulent. And now, having eaten, the boys relaxed in front of the embers of the fire.
Oh, boy, that's what we've been through today. I could lay my head back and sleep like a baby.
No, listen, my boy. That's what night's for. I can do with a night of sleep myself.
Jeremiah, tell me something.
Whenever you start out that way, listen, maybe I can't answer you, but go ahead, Jack, go ahead.
It's a 1,000-foot level plateau we're on now. The animals on it are distinctly of some ancient period in history.
That's right. Yes, sir, no doubt about it.
Yet they're not anything like the animals we saw up on the Great Plateau itself.
True.
Well, I've been wondering if there's any design to this. I mean, in different places, we seem to find a different period in the history of animal life. And the same thing applies to human life. This afternoon, while we were climbing that spider web up the face of the cliff, we looked across and saw the cliff dwellers. Last time we were up here, we saw the ape man. And in another place, we saw signs of more advanced man. What I want to know is, what's the meaning of all this up here?
That I do not know. But as to the life on this plateau, I can tell you this much. The higher intelligence has taken it upon itself to perpetuate and keep to itself plant, animal, and human life in its various forms, down through the history of the world.
You mean they're actually living every stage of man's development from the beginning of the human being?
And the same with animal life and plant life. The table land we crossed today represents a definite period in the history of the world.
Yes, we've seen strange animals and plants, but nothing of human life.
Somewhere on this plateau is man in some stage of his development. If I'm not mistaken, man was a very major creature in this particular era.
Oh, you don't know what period we're in.
No, I do not. But I must tell you that this whole great plateau is one vast museum of natural history. It's been kept for a complete record of the world, when all men shall be ready to receive such information.
Now, this higher intelligence doesn't seem to think that we're ready yet.
Does it seem likely? With the world outside spending every bit of its time and effort and wealth and intelligence in finding new and more gruesome ways of destroying each other?
Yes, I get your point.
But you think the world's ever going to be any better than it is?
Well, I cannot say for that, but all it will grow better, or it will finally destroy itself completely.
And then what?
Where the last two civilized people out there in the world today have finally clawed each other to death, then I think it is likely that the higher intelligence will probably loose some of their finer specimens of mankind into the outer world and start a newer and better breed of human beings.
Well, very interesting. In other words, this lost plateau may be the place from which a new race of mankind will germinate sometime in the future.
As it has done in the past.
What's this?
How do you suppose the world was repopulated after the great continent of Atlantis sank beneath the ocean? Who do you suppose gave human life a new start after the continent of Rome was obliterated? Who gave man a new start when the great flood mentioned in the Bible swept human life from the earth?
You mean each time a higher intelligence up here on the lost plateau planted new humans on the earth?
The seed of man, like the seed of any cultivated crop, grows weak and puny and sterile in time and must be renewed from somewhere.
Doggone, Jack. Can you imagine lying out here by a campfire under the sky full of stars and listening to stuff like that?
Well, the man who came to us and made the deal for this expedition said we were destined to come up here. He said our visit had been foretold in the stars long before we knew we were coming.
Yes, he said so. You can put your mind to rest, that is so.
You believe in foretelling the future by astrologers?
Oh, astrology is something people in the outside world monkey with and don't know what they're doing. So mostly I wouldn't put much faith in it myself.
Well, they claim to read the stars.
Claiming it and doing it are a couple of different matters. Those in a high place claim nothing. They say nothing. They just go ahead and tell you what's going to happen when it's to your best advantage to know.
Oh, just who are these folks in the high place, Jeremiah?
I have never seen them.
Was this emissary that come to see us in Hollywood one of them?
I should judge from what you say that He might be some very important wise man on the outer fringe of the high place.
Oh, just sort of an office boy, you might say.
You might have said.
Jeremiah, look out there in the ferry.
Hey, hey, somebody in a white robe. They're coming this way.
Great, you know what?
You know who it is?
It's that minx of a girl in Uganda.
What's you this, Uganda? Hi, honey. Where the heck did you come from, and where are you being?
Oh, my mother. Oh,
my mother.
I'm
not coming. You see here, Uganda.
But you must. And there's no going to help you.
Of course we'll help you, Uganda. What do you want us to do?
Come on, you want me to show you the place?
No, just a minute, Uganda. I have my definite orders.
Oh, no, you must come with me.
Well, you don't have to beg me,
God,
to keep out of this.
Just
I want to help Uganda. This is between Uganda and Jeremiah. Let him talk.
You haven't told us what it is you want, Uganda.
Oh, it was most terrible. It was a great cry and a great noise in the air, and I looked up. And there was such a bird in the air that I'd never seen before.
Airplane?
Airplane? No such things are allowed over the great plateau.
What happened, Uganda?
A giant flying reptile.
Oh, yes. And they came together up there, and there seemed to be a great splintering of wood and fire in the air. And then something dropped from the strange bird. And presently, a great white cloud appeared. It was like a beautiful white flower suddenly blooming in the sky.
Parachute.
And I regret that this flower was a man. When it came down to earth, he was fair and beautiful, and he was safe. That I gathered him up in my arms.
You know what? You can't do that, Uganda. You know you can't do that.
I have done it.
You mean you picked up a full-grown man and carried him?
I cannot take him far. But I have seen him where he will not be far. And then the last time, let me keep him alive.
That is forbidden.
Just a minute, Jeremiah. From what Uganda said, it sounds to me like this might be a flyer for my own country. If he's hurt, we ought to do what we can for him.
He was not supposed to be one of the great let go. Having been brought to earth, must be turned over to those in the high place.
No, he's mine. I'll find him.
Yeah, I wonder quite right, Uganda. You're a young spirit, a headstrong soul. You have many lives to live before you will be trusted.
Well, Jeremiah, what harm can it be in offering you leave? If for some reason you must be turned over to some authority later, why can't it be done then?
Yeah, why don't we stand here arguing for now?
How far is this place?
Oh, not far enough. Over near the drink where you hear the frog. Come, I'll show you.
I'll walk up ahead with you, honey.
Yes, but we must hurry.
Oh, don't be afraid of the woman to make the way.
Oh, don't say it's so big, Jeremiah.
I'm sitting here moving. No wonder I've never been allowed to live on the high plains. Always been around by the nose. The hermit of San Felipe Atabapawal and the hermit of San Felipe Atabapawal always be.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but your heart's light of it offhand. Well, I didn't realize there was a lake this close to our camp.
Yes, hidden by the river bushes.
Jack, Jack, hurry up, wait. Huh? What's the matter? Where's your daughter? Jack, she said, take off your clothes and follow me. There'll be other clothes for you down below. And then she dropped off this flat rope and dived straight down into the lake.
She did what?
Look, here's a rope to prove it. She's been gone for 2-3 minutes now. She must have gone somewhere.
Yes.
Jeremiah, what are you doing?
This rope.
Are you going to dive into that lake?
You boys were the ones who were so keen on following Uganda. Well, so were us. Flip off and flip forward.
What is it, my grandma? Hey, Jamie, you are. So much you. Now, what are we supposed to expect at the bottom of this lake?
There must be some place fit for human habitation down there.
Bottom of a lake? Sounds like a hangout for a
school of mermaids. Just where did you dive from, Doc?
Right where you're standing, almost exactly.
Very well. Follow me down.
Well, Uganda and Jeremiah can dive into a pitch black lake in the middle of the night. What are we waiting for?